Hey, everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Erica.
Hey. Erica was having so much fun on the last episode, she decided to hang around.
I love it here. Please. Is it okay if I do this?
Absolutely.
Carrie says I'm
not
too old to do this.
Why is it?
She says I'm too old to do this.
Too old where? You're only as young as you feel.
Who are you?
And if this is how she feels,
can you tell the people who you are, please?
She's a master professional.
Erica, remind the folks who you are.
I am Erica Fulton. I am a master esthetician and paramedical tattoo artist and owner of Ken Skin and Wellness located in Woodbridge, Virginia.
And my baby sis.
And the baby sis.
Well, thank you for being with us for another episode.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know how we do this. Let's take it to the readout.
Yes. So today we're going to do a viewer letter for a segment that we call the readout. And we picked this one because we know you're an entrepreneur, Erica, as is Carrie. But we all have experience navigating corporate spaces. So we're going to read the letter. And if I need to stop, just say stop, and we just give advice as we go, and then we're going to try to help this particular viewer.
Okay,
so that's kind of how this segment usually goes. So let's get right into it. Mm-hmm. It says, Dear Liz and Carrie, and I'm going to add, and Erica.
Hey, girl.
I'm writing because I'm exhausted, and if I'm honest, a little disappointed in myself. I've always struggled to say no at work. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be seen as difficult, ungrateful, or not a team player. So I say yes. Yes to extra projects. Yes to staying late. Yes to work that isn't in my job description. Yes, even when my plate is already overflowing. I just want to pause there because as Black women, we always have to navigate this, like, angry Black woman. You're aggressive. Like, other people can be assertive, but we're aggressive if we're assertive. Other people can be passionate. We're angry. Other people can be, you know, fiery and expressive. We're intimidating and everything. So I totally feel this young sister right here when she says that she doesn't want to rock the boat or be perceived as difficult, right? Because I totally get the headspace that she's in.
Because you feel like, oh, if I say no, then they're automatically, if your goal is to progress in your career at this particular place, you have a feeling that if you say no, if you set that boundary, then you're going to be labeled one of those things.
And it becomes,
like, it's automatically against you.
Exactly. It becomes a bit of a double-edged sword. I know that in the military, we always say the reward for awesome work is always more work. So the more you say yes, the more you say yes, the more they're going to, you know, it's going to become, you know, piled on. And even from my personal experience, it gets to a place where when you do say no, it's almost like, well, why not? Well, you didn't say no
before.
You didn't say it to the other 50 million things that we gave you, you know, what do you mean?
Exactly.
You know, so it definitely, I'm glad this person is at least at a place where they're realizing, okay, I may need to set a boundary.
100%. And so we'll get into it. But to Carrie's point, you know, that's a phenomenon that you described that I always refer to as performance punishment. And not so shameless plug, it was the topic of my first book. Because so many of us get caught up in this, not just Black women, but high achieving professionals get caught up in that you want to do a good job, you pull off the impossible, you MacGyver it, you do whatever needs to be done, and that becomes the normal level of expectation of you and nobody else, and then it's hard to break that cycle for sure.
And I always question, is it always a outward perception? Is it something that you are requiring of yourself? You know, right. And not necessarily all management question. Things. You know, are you internalizing some of this? Yeah. And maybe you saying, hey, I can't, may be met with that. I understand, because we know you have a lot on your plate. So making sure that you're aware of where that pressure is really coming from.
Absolutely. Is it a racket that you've created inside your own head through your own storytelling?
Yeah.
Or is there something you can do about it? I like to say yes, but let's get back into the letter and see what else we can find out about her situation so we can help her with some advice. Mm-hmm. she goes on to say, at first, I told myself this was just part of being professional, that if I worked hard enough, people would notice, that eventually the respect, recognition, and opportunities would come. But instead, what I've gotten is frustration, overwhelm, and a growing sense of being invisible. My boss assumes I will handle whatever gets thrown my way. He even lets other colleagues pass work to me without hesitation, explaining that I'm his go-to person, so they should feel free to leverage me as needed. No one ever asks if I have the capacity. They just expect my compliance. The truth is, going along to get along isn't working for me anymore. I feel like a corporate doormat, and I hate that this is where what my career has turned into. I'm tired of of feeling unseen and unheard, but I also need my job. Walking away isn't an option right now. So here's my question. How and when is it okay to say no at work without putting my livelihood at risk? Signed, tired of being a professional. Yes, ma'am. I see what you did there. Yeah. Go.
I am a believer in a good firm no. But I do not think that it always has to be, it doesn't always have to be delivered in a way that is, could be deceived as defiant or, you know, not being a team player. A simple no could, a way to say no could be, well, hey, I would love to help with this. This is what I'm working on. What can I deprioritize? Because that puts the ball back in their court. Okay, clear. I want you to know that you've given me, I have all this work and I want to help because I am a team player, but something over here has to, you know, come down a rung. I would always say when I was in the military that my brain is an iceberg. And so when people would come in and they're throwing things at me, I would say, is this an important penguin? Because if it's not an important penguin, save it. Because an important penguin may fall off the back. And I, you know, and now I've lost track of that. Is this a 10 meter zombie or is this a 100 meter zombie? Because if it's a 100 meter zombie, I'm only killing 5 and 10 meter zombies today. So keep your zombie until tomorrow. Right?
She got the bar.
What if it's a penguin zombie or a zombie
Listen,
penguin?
And am I dealing with that today?
Okay.
Right?
I love that. Love that analogy.
It's a soft no. It's still a no. It's still a, hey, I can't today. It's still a, well, sure, I can, but something else is not going to get done. And making sure it's, of course, delivered in a way that's professional, because as she stated, she needs her job, you know, and walking away right now is not an option. But strangling yourself in this position should also not be an option. And you're going
Absolutely.
To find yourself running out of air very soon.
Well, one of her big problems apparently is her manager, because I am taken aback that you would say, she is my go-to person, leverage her as needed.
Yeah.
No, don't come to me with all of your nonsensical stuff. Regardless of what that person said, I have 10,000 things that they're giving me.
Right.
Like the disrespect is crazy. So she needs to have a conversation with her boss and set those clear boundaries. There are certain things that you expect of me, and I am happy to be your go-to person, but I cannot be everyone's go-to person.
Yeah, there's some much-needed self-advocacy there to realign that expectation with her boss. Because I've seen it happen, right? Particularly if your boss is working on a special project or something. And we've talked about this in other episodes of the podcast that, you know, you can raise your hand for a stretch assignment or take something outside of your normal day-to-day responsibilities. But, you know, but to your point, there's got to be a balance. Like, you have to have that conversation with your boss. Okay, I'm happy to help Bob out with his special thing over mm-hmm. here, but what don't you want me to do?
Right.
I had to do that myself just recently, not too long ago. Like, I had a trainee working with me who was on loan to us from Japan, and he was going back to Japan. And my boss all year, I was like, you know he's leaving. You know he's leaving. You know he's leaving. And I was like, so I had put together like a whole business plan to get headcount to replace the help that I had with him. And when it was denied, I said to my boss, I was like, okay, of these five things that I'm responsible for, which two don't you want me to do? Like, let's have mm-hmm. that conversation. And she was like, oh, okay, let me think about it and get back
exactly.
to you. And to her credit, she made those two things go away and reassigned them to other people. But you have to speak up for yourself and
absolutely.
Advocate.
She would have never thought
absolutely.
To do
she
that
wouldn't
had
have,
you not said.
Yeah, because I think what and I love her handle. She says, what tired of being a professional yes ma'am mm-hmm. doesn't realize is a couple of things. One, it's okay to say no. No is an
absolutely.
Option. And I think sometimes we get caught up in our own headspace, feeling guilty. If
yes,
what if they don't
yeah.
like me? What if they get mad if I say no? You're allowed to say no. It's an option. Yes is an option, but then so is no is an option,
absolutely.
Right? So you can say it. And what Erica was talking about is just called in corporate circles the pushback,
mm-hmm.
right? So it doesn't have to be a hard no. It could be a hard no in your soul, but
yeah.
the way that you say it.
In your spirit.
In your spirit.
In my spirit. It
you
was
know?
Definitely a hard no.
The way that you say
right.
it. I'm out there for some exactly. black conversation.
Can you take one?
But so you don't have to say no. In black conversation either, you could do it you could push back. Like, so think of it as a pushback. If no is too much for you, letter writer, yes, ma'am, professional, yes, ma'am, you know, think of it as pushing back. Because what you can do is you could say, I can't do this. But I can do that,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or make your problem. We've talked mm-hmm. about this on the show before. Make your problem somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your boss in and say, Bob just asked me to do this thing over here, but I've got these five other things. How do you want me to prioritize this? Like, don't suffer silently on this one.
Absolutely yeah. not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Because it also becomes, in some cases, for us as black women, a buildup. Right, because we often say in the military, you are at work who you are at home. So if
Wait,
this is
Erica's got bar.
So if you are, you know, a crappy supervisor, it's not like you're just putting this on when you come to work. You need to evaluate who you are as a whole person.
Mm.
So is the pressure of work also feeling so piled on because you are also the yes person to your family, the yes person in your relationship, the yes person in your marriage, the yes person in your
oh
friendship.
My gosh.
Can you host my baby shower?
Yeah.
Can you, you know, do whatever?
Preach.
And so making sure that you're not just executing this pushback in your corporate life, but making sure that you are well balanced, you know, and I take issue with the balance because
yes.
when you think of balance, you think of skill. So I
yeah,
like to say, well, prioritize.
That's right. Go.
Right. Mm-hmm. In your personal life, in your personal life as well, you know, and making sure that you're saving space for yourself to breathe.
Amen. In my coaching practice, I say it this way, paraphrasing the philosopher Popeye, the sailor man.
My favorite.
Who said, I am what I am. We are who we are, wherever we are,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's so true because chances are this pattern is chasing this person around
mm-hmm.
in all aspects of her
mm-hmm.
life.
And has been for
it
some time.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to break that cycle. But that's why if anybody needs a coach to help break out of this cycle, because part of it's mindset mm-hmm. and giving yourself permission to say no.
Yeah.
And I say it this way, you know, you can get to, and I do a whole workshop and module training modules around this, but you can get from, you know, a yes or a no, but sometimes it's a yes, but on your terms and your conditions. And
that's
the pushback that Erica is talking about here. And
how do you overcome that anxiety of saying no?
I think It's mindset. For me, it's mindset. Like, you have to give yourself permission to do it. And sometimes it's practice. Practice at home. Yeah. Say no to the dog. Say no to the...
It's so hard.
You know, say no to the chocolate chip cookie on the counter. It can't talk back. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
I have an easier time saying no to the chocolate chip cookie than I do to the dog.
But it's a start. It's baby steps. It's baby steps. I know. I can't say no to your dog either. She's so cute. But
either way can be uncomfortable. Yeah. Right, not saying no can cause you tension and angst.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, and you get that feeling of like, oh my God, if I say no. And
I think the first thing you have to ask yourself, you have to do what I call for myself the head on the pillow test, the sleep at night test. Like, if I say yes to this thing, can I sleep at night, right? Am I going to be able to live with this decision, or am I going to be mad, upset, and pouty, and whatever? You like, is it going to bother me later? And if the answer is yes, then you have to say no. Mm-hmm. Or you have to say, okay, if I can't say no, because there are certain situations where it's not really cool to say no, but you could say, I can do it, but only if these terms and these conditions are met. But so I can't do it today, but I can get to it next week. That's a yes, but on your terms and conditions. I can't do it for, if you're in business, I can't do it for $100, but I could do it for $250. You know, you have to find a way that makes it work for you. And I think, too, a lot of times we forget that the leaders that we work with, and true corporate leaders, don't want to be surrounded by yes ma'ams and yes people. They don't. They want truth tellers. They want people that are going to be honest with them. And you can be that person, because, you know, I hate the fact that the letter writer refers to herself as a corporate doormat, but chances are, like, the big bosses, her boss and the people above him, you know, don't even realize that she's going through this personal because she keeps getting the job done over and over and over. Oh, she can handle it. She can handle it. She can handle it. She can handle it. So, you know, at some point you have to be, you know, you got to be like George Jetson and get off of the treadmill at the end of the show and take a time out and say, okay, we need to recalibrate. I'm stressed. I don't have capacity. I can't take this on. You know, I need help. It's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to say no. Like, absolutely. Because because most leaders don't want yes people around them.
And one other thing to think about too is if you're constantly saying yes and the burnout hits and something falls through the cracks, you're going to be the one that they look at and be like, well, why did this happen?
Why didn't you say no?
Why didn't you say no?
Why didn't you say no? Why didn't you let us
know?
We could have taken care of this. Yeah. Yes.
There's an expectation of at least that level of self-care, you know, at work. When years ago, when I was at the Slanted A, like earlier in my career, there was a senior manager who would do, like, I used to call him bed checks, because he would come around 8:30 in the morning, then he would make another walk the floor around 4:30. Yeah, I hated that too. But that's a letter for another day.
Yeah.
That's a different show, different day.
Like, why are you checking if I'm here? Am I getting the work done?
But I was often there late. Mm-hmm. And because at that time I thought, it had to get done. You know, I was just in this constant state of I could have been this letter writer, you know, like I was on that, like, cause I had this whole thing. I got to prove myself. I got to do this. I got to get it done. I got to get it. Can't wait. It's too important. And blah, 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 blah. And he was just like, why are you always here so late? I was like, because I'm busy. I got a lot to do. He goes, so you're busier than the CEO? You're busier than our big boss. You're busier than...
Right, because they're not here.
Because they're not here. Like, they're gone. They take their vacation and stuff like that. And he was just like, look, if you feel like you have to be here, then you're doing something wrong. You're not managing your time efficiently. And I was like...
Aha.
Uh-huh. well played. Well played, Carrie. But, you know, but it made me really examine stuff because I had to ask myself, I got better at asking myself, do I have to do this right here, right now? Can this wait until tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And often the answer was yes. I was putting all this unnecessary pressure on myself. Absolutely. My boss wasn't there. My boss, you know, like nobody was breathing down my, like it was, I had to change my mindset. So there's a big, I think there's a big mindset reset opportunity with this young woman here. But sometimes it takes coaching. You got to work with somebody to help you break out of those old mindset habits.
Yeah.
To fix it.
Absolutely. I had a very similar, I was young in my career. I think this is shortly after Liz and I first met. I had AJ and I was running a program for the entire base and we were getting inspected and my son had an ear infection and he could not go to the daycare. And I was like, I got to make sure my program is right. My boss, commander, sent me home. And the next day I said, well, I'm just going to go in and do a few things. And I had my sick baby in his car seat under my desk.
Yeah, no.
And I was doing. And
he
walked by the absolute, right? But you want to know something? It was a lot of internalized expectation. Like, literally, my nickname was Can Do.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of internalized expectation. And my commander walked by, and I felt like he moonwalked back. Because someone had told him the day before, like, hey, Erica has to leave. AJ has an ear infection. She has to go pick him up. And he came, and I knew I was, you know, you're like a kid that's caught doing something. And he sat down, and he peeked. And he said, what are you doing? I said, sir, I know. I wasn't even, I said, I just want to get these few little things done. He said, hey, this is not that important. You will look back, and you will know that this is not that important.
Yeah.
And if we don't have something together, it's an opportunity for us to learn.
Right.
Take your sick baby.
And go
commander.
Home.
And
go home. Colonel Carroll, one of the best, gentlemen I ever worked for. He was very, very
good
much. He
him.
Taught me how to be for people.
Yeah.
Even when they were not there for themselves.
By first teaching you how to put your mask on first.
Exactly.
And be there for yourself. I love
exactly.
that story.
He was continuously that way. And I think that it's important that we almost have that hindsight of, okay, like not saying to disregard work, but how important is this? Should I be straining myself to this length, you know, when I can just simply ask for help?
Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm still dealing with that too, because sometimes it hits me. Like even this past week, as you know, I'm a multi-passionate individual.
Yes,
I have like 7 jobs.
Yeah.
And for one of them, one of my business partners calls me last minute and asks me to handle something for the business.
Mm.
Now, I'm focused on 2 or 3 of my other 7 jobs,
right,
which are all having things that are coming up, that are coming to a head in the same week.
Mm.
So I either now have to squeeze this task into what I'm trying to do, or I can say, yes, I can take care of it, but it won't be until Tuesday. So I went with the second one.
Good for you.
And the response to that is, okay.
And I immediately
I was like,
what
the hell?
Then why was it so urgent?
What the hell?
So I have another business, and my business partner is the king. You know him. He's the king of closed mouths don't get fed.
Mm.
And a lot of times we're dealing with that personality on the other
yep.
side.
Yeah.
So they're asking for stuff. And it's not because they really need it tomorrow. It's just that closed mouths don't get fed.
Yeah.
So if you don't ask, you don't get. So they're practicing that. They're walking in that. Can I get this tomorrow? And you know, when really the deadline isn't tomorrow.
Yeah, next week.
They're just wondering, hey, if
tomorrow.
I can get it to tomorrow, great for me. But if I can't, okay, I'll wait till Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of times we forget that that's who we're talking to because of that internal programming, that internal dialogue that's going on in our heads. So,
because of our mindset.
Yeah, because we're black women, we take care of everybody else. We handle stuff. We get it done.
We do it all.
Whereas, you know, we have to get in the part of putting our mask on first is learning, one, who we're dealing with and being able to to practice the gift that Madeira and Grandma and them gave us, and that's called discernment. Right?
Absolutely.
And part of how we get to discernment is, you know, focusing on like processes and priorities. I love that you said priorities, you know, and reframing it like, here's what I'm currently working on. Mm-hmm. Where does this fall if it's your boss giving you something to do, right? Using that capacity language like we talked about and stuff. So I can't do it today, but I can do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Usually there's an, oh, okay. And if there's not, if you're talking to that don't ask, don't get person, they'll tell you right then and there, okay, Tuesday's not good.
Not gonna work.
Is there any way you could get to it
on
like Friday?
Exactly.
Or you know what, there's an extra $100 in it for you if you can prioritize. Or, you know, in business or whatever the case. Then you can really start to get the issue on the table. But that first ask doesn't, like where that ask begins isn't necessarily where your answer has to end. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and sticking to your boundaries, because that's another thing. Well, yes, I'll get to it by Tuesday. And then they call you Saturday. Well, have you? Could you?
It's like, no,
is it possible? But
not
sometimes,
that way, but
yeah. But sometimes that can even be difficult, especially when you are starting to practice saying no or setting those boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, people will kind of still try to test, I think, sometimes how far. Well, last time she said it, but she got it done early. So
that's
let me just push, you know, and so making sure that we are firm, because you have to teach people how to treat you.
Listen,
and you do that by how you treat yourself.
And I know on relationship podcasts, they say that all the time, but it's true.
Absolutely.
To the point that we are where we are, who we are, wherever we are. You do that at work, too. And I could tell you, okay, here's the, what is it called? The pro tip, the hack, the...
all of that.
What is it called? I forget. The hot take. If you're
I think hot take is something else.
Oh, okay. I don't know the lingo. You see, Carrie.
You're there, though.
Carrie's the hip one. I just learned what this
listen,
is. Okay.
Stick to that.
Okay, I'll stick to this. But the pro tip here for those who struggle with this kind of thing is leverage, whether you use Google or Outlook, leverage that scheduled send email.
Oh, yes.
What do I mean by that? What do you mean by that, Liz? Well, glad you asked. Let me tell you. So if that in that scenario, love that scenario, right? They ask for it, you know, it's Wednesday and you're swamped with 20 other things. And they ask for something by Tuesday, right? And let's say you got, you know, a little extra pep in your step. You check some things off and you manage to finish their thing. Don't send that to them before Tuesday. Especially if you're dealing with the don't ask, don't get type of a person or a corporate bully or whatever. Look, you do that scheduled send on Friday afternoon to go out at Tuesday and don't even do it at Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
10:30.
Do it at like 10:30, like during regular business hours.
Right.
Because,
later.
You know, like later in the day. You do that scheduled send because you're meeting the deadline. Now, you know, you only do it in advance if you want to exceed that expectation, but you have to realize who your client is in that particular case. Because some people will, as Eddie Murphy said it much more artfully in a sketch, you give some people a rope, they think they're a cowboy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. But, you know, so you know, but if you want to exceed expectations to the extent where you're not creating an unrealistic
that you can maintain
go forward expectation for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's my pro tip for today.
Yeah.
Like the tech tip.
It's an excellent
tip. Like use
Wonderful.
that schedule.
Get it off your plate, but also don't set the expectation that it's going to get done early.
Because you can't make it look too easy.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't. Absolutely. Like one of my bosses at the PR agency, I was all excited because I went out to dinner with a client and we got to brainstorming and we came up with this whole campaign. She was just like, you did that right there. I was like, yeah, isn't that awesome? I thought I was like doing something. Blessing. She was just like, no, I can't bill them for that because they saw how fast you got there. Versus, you know, that's 10 hours worth of work and you did it in 10 minutes and I can't bill them for the 10 hours of value that they actually got out of that one dinner. And I felt horrible. But it was a good lesson.
Great lesson.
It was a really good lesson. What I should have done was take the feedback then and say, okay, well, let us come back to you with something, knowing that it was done already.
Yeah.
And then give the value later. So you have to, because your time is money, your time is valuable.
Absolutely.
You know, so you have to manage that expectation.
I was
going to
say, absolutely, manage the expectation. And very similarly in business, where people, I've noticed, reach out at all odd hours. Now, sometimes, due to insomnia or catching up on my shows, I'm up.
Right.
I have had to force myself to stop responding.
That part. Good for you.
I respond during business hours, during hours of operations only.
Schedule
a send. I'm going to start doing
that. Schedule a send. You can still respond at 3 a.m., but they won't get the email until regular business.
I'm going to start exercising that. That was a pro tip.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
I helped today. I helped the master today.
Liz, what do you do about people who call you at 10:30 when you're trying to go to sleep and they just want to see what you're doing for no reason at all?
Your phone has a no ring button. You turn your ringer off on your phone.
But then they still call you because they know they can get through.
Okay, then let them talk to your answer machine.
I feel personally attacked. I just want to put it out there. I feel personally attacked.
Oh, no.
I want to make sure that you have arrived alive. And that the scene is safe, and
you're,
I just want to know.
You have my GPS. What are you talking about?
I call kids. And you want to know something? Wait a minute. No, because we're going to unpack this. We're going to unpack this.
Carrie. We're on a different show
Carrie has set an expectation of her work hours. Right. When you are working on things in the morning and I do my best. If she says, Erica,
you've
I
been
start
very
working
good about that.
At 10, I drop my kids off at 9:20. I know
at 9.
I have to call Carrie before 10 o'clock.
Hey.
Right.
She calls me right after she drops the kids off.
I am pulling off. Bye. What are you doing? You know, just because I know that, like, we've established that this. Right. Now, it took a few times of me calling and being like, oh, she's serious. She's not going to answer the phone.
She
I'm like,
taught
okay.
you how to treat
her.
Well,
she taught
I
me
will
how to treat her.
I have gotten to the point before it would be like, I'm, like, frantically typing phone rings. Hello. Da-da-da-da-da. And barely concentrating. And I've gotten to the point where it's like, I'm not going to answer that. And I have now set my ringer for certain times where it does go off. Like, if I'm in the car, that's focus time. And I get a lot of phone calls. It's like, why are you not answering your phone? Because I'm in the car.
That's
I'm working, and so my phone's off. And, like, a couple of times she's had to call around to look for me because I've been at school all day. And she's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm at school. My phone's off.
Just out of concern. I'm her nearest relative, and I'm hours away.
I overstand the concern.
Yes.
I do. I do.
So yeah, boundaries are cool.
And shame on you for not checking in.
Wow.
But what I will say, is, I think it's a great example. In all seriousness, part of you know, being a professional, yes, ma'am, the quandary that she's in is her own, a monster of her own self-creation, which means that she can fix it, right? Mm-hmm. And part of it is, you know, the work environment that she's in, you know, and it's fast paced and it's, you know, if you get it done or whatever, you have to remember the company's always going to take care of the company, but you have to take care of yourself Absolutely. In that environment. And just like her boss is going to continue to boss until you say, no, I can't do it. So I think you have to kind of look at it. Like I think too often, I know a lot of clients I work with that find themselves in these kind of performance punishment type of scenarios. They think leaving is the answer, mm-hmm. and then they go from the one frying pan into another frying pan because they're the same. They haven't chosen to do anything different.
The environment is different, but the situation is going to be
your practices don't change
because they're the same person, and they're not, and they're still approaching work life the same way.
Yeah,
and so you have to learn to establish those boundaries, and you have to learn to create that space for yourself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll get caught up in this. Now, it's not your fault. You know, we've talked on the show about corporate bullies and all the things, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But if let's assume positive intentions all the way around, as long as you keep doing something, people are going to keep expecting you to do it because they're getting their needs met. So it's often life is good over there for them, but for you, and you have to be your own self-advocate at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You do. The only other thing I would say is because we talked about I think we've given this letter writer, we've given professional yes ma'am some good tips, mm-hmm. right? So focus on process and priorities, you know, use capacity language. I don't have the capacity to take this on today, and offer options. I can't do it today, but I can do it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Delay strategically.
Absolutely.
And use my tech tip on that delayed send button and manage those expectations. I would just toss on the pile. We talked about establishing boundaries. The last thing I might toss on the pile from my perspective would be to just follow up and document conversations in real time. Because people that you're dealing with, especially if you work in a fast-paced work environment, people are like, you know, you go into a meeting and everything. Follow up. Put it in writing. Great conversation today. As discussed, I'll get this to you on Tuesday. And here's the deliverable. Here's the this and here's the that. And that one you don't delay send.
Yeah,
right away. So this
clarity.
This way there's no misunderstanding. So maybe they didn't say Tuesday, they said Thursday, or they'll come back where you said Thursday and they meant Tuesday, and then they'll come back to you to say, hey, is there any way? Yada yada yada. But at least you're CYing your A, and you have to do that for yourself as part of your self-care journey at work, you know? So you don't have to say yes all the time at work.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be nasty or negative in how you say no. Like I work with some people who are masters of the pushback.
Yeah.
You know, like and you can even push back by asking a question. So so what are you trying to accomplish? Because maybe,
what's the goal here?
Yeah. What's the goal here? Because maybe what they're asking you for isn't what they really need in that particular situation. And maybe it's a lighter lift for everybody, but they're just seeing it one way. You don't know.
Great advice.
I love it. I hope they take that and really execute and practice some of the things that we've provided.
I might have been corporate yes ma'am.
I know I have at different points in my career.
No, I mean, I might have written this letter.
You didn't. I can guarantee that you didn't.
I didn't.
But, you know, but in all seriousness, it takes practice, though.
Definitely does.
This is somebody, you know, because like Erica said, this is probably a dynamic she has in all of her areas of her life. So what I would say, the truly last thing I would say now I've had a chance to kind of think about it a little bit more is just know that you can practice those small no's. Mm-hmm. You know, practice that small no. Like I was joking about the puppy and the chocolate chip cookie, but you know,
it's true.
But you can practice that. You know, it's like anything else. It's a muscle, and the more you develop it, the stronger it gets. And but at the same time, you gotta be careful because if you're constantly if pushback starts sliding and feeling like you're playing defense, then there's something else going on inside your organization, right? So that,
and it's
that's
not a, about you. It's about them and the entire place.
Right.
The culture.
Right, exactly. I don't, in this particular letter, based on what's here, it sounds like it's a her.
Yeah.
It's like she has the power to turn things around, that it's not a bigger issue, but that's just a red flag to kind of watch
out
for.
She's just, I think, internalizing what others may think.
Exactly.
Right? You're
she hasn't even tested
going,
the theory.
At all. They may say, you know what, you're right. You know,
right.
But if
or
you,
I didn't realize it.
But if you keep taking it, you know, we're going to keep bringing it on over here to
because,
you.
Because
you haven't said no.
Because that's how organizations work. And that's not personal. So tired of being your professional, yes, ma'am. Parting thoughts for her?
Well, I don't have a parting thought for her because I think we've said a lot for her to think through. But I will say, the moment I get my dog to stop begging for snacks breakfast.
It won't happen.
It will. That's my no. That's the no that I'm working on.
Okay, you have to be realistic.
Moving on. Erica, do you have any final thoughts for our readout letter writer?
I definitely think that it lends to a lot of the conversation that we've already had of prioritization, and not just in the way of your capabilities, but in the way of your capacity, right? Knowing when you're overwhelmed or at the verge of, right? Because we a lot of times like to push ourselves to the line.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in practice of, okay, I am about to be overwhelmed, so I have to know when to scale back, or I have to know what not to do, right? And so making sure that you're checking your own temperature and not, again, not strangling yourself out, because it can get there quicker than one, you know, could imagine.
I used to say, I'm about to hit the wall. And if no one heard me say, I'm about to hit the wall, and then I would hit the wall, and then they're looking at me like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you didn't
but
say it
I didn't
enough.
Say it loud. Right. I didn't say it loud enough, and I had to get to the point where I started saying it loud enough.
Pushing back, saying no, or finding a yes on your terms or your condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a form of self-care.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Liz.
Cool.
And
thank
Erica,
you.
Thank you.
Good
Very
luck out
insightful.
There.
Very insightful.
Tired of being a professional yes ma'am. So,
well,
hit us up.
Now I think we're going to do one of our popular segments, our top 10. It kind of relates to what we've been talking about in terms of like the pushback, but you know, us as a people have a certain way of doing things. We have a certain way of saying no, or a certain way of expressing disagreement. So I thought we'd do top 10 ways to disagree using black conversation.
I love, you know, I love me some black conversation.
Ooh.
we do a lot of black conversation.
We do a lot of it. We do a lot of it.
Wait, this is black conversation.
Yes. And
it
so is this. We do, Erica, we do a lot of unspoken
absolutely
around here where we know what we're saying.
Absolutely.
And you know what we're saying. But for this one, I thought we'd call out top 10 ways to disagree using black conversation.
Oh, this is fun.
But I also have some honorable mentions. So do we want to start with top 10, or do we want to start
Let's
with
start
honorable
mentions? Yeah, and then work our way up.
I'll do the honorables real quick.
Okay.
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 Or you say it and you cut it like,
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Amir agrees.
Girl, bye.
Yes.
Bye, Felicia.
Yes.
Same.
I said what I said.
I just bought that mug.
I said what I said.
I just got that mug.
You did?
Yes.
You had a mug that said, I said what I said. Girl, you said what you said. This will be good for us because, you know, we're Southern girls. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. That is the ultimate Southern insult.
Yes.
To anything.
It's not just, I would argue that one is not just black conversation.
No, that's not just black conversation.
It's Southern conversation.
That's Southern, yes.
Yeah, that's Southern conversation.
But I like this one. Oh, you funny.
Oh, you funny.
Oh, you got jokes.
Oh, you got jokes.
Oh, you got jokes.
Okay. Stop playing with me.
Stop.
That.
Yeah.
I think I say that to my kids multiple
all
times
the
in
time.
A day.
All the time. I also like this one. That ain't it.
That ain't it.
You got me messed up.
Bent. You got me bent, brother. And not in a good way.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
This one, I think this is a Liz favorite. I'm not the one or the two.
You're three to four.
At all, none of it.
Just saying.
None of it.
Those are our honorable mentions. Okay.
Oh, that's a good list right there.
Okay, now we get to our top 10.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see what's on this list.
Number 10. I love that for you.
I love that for you.
I love that for you.
I love that for you. What's funny is that one's been, because some of y'all are so loose on the cookout invites, that one's been appropriated by other folks as like a, oh my God, I love that for you. And I'm like, don't say that to me. Like,
We'll talk about this probably on another show, but I have disinvited myself to the cookout.
I have straight security.
I'm not going to the cookout because
who
over there?
That part.
Some of y'all are too loose on the invites to the cookout.
That's what I'm saying.
So that particular expression, some clear people think is actually like a compliment. Oh, I love that for you, and they don't realize
that
they're
saying it right.
Yeah, no, they're not saying it right.
Number 9. It's a no for me.
It's a no for me, dog.
And I like to throw out, it's an absolute no
for me. That sounds aggressive.
It's an absolute, because I want to drive home how much of a no it really is for me. That's an absolute no for me. Immediately no.
Shout out to Randy Jackson for popularizing that one on American Idol. It's a no for me, dog.
Okay. Number 8. Do I look like
Boo Boo the Fool?
Mm-mm.
Do I look like I was born last night?
Right. Number 7.
Do I look like your little friend?
Your little friend.
You know your mama
said
that.
Friend.
Yeah, Jamil
one of your little friends.
Jamil heard that one once or twice last
Number
week.
Number 7. If you like it,
I love it. For you.
Because we can
tie all of those in there.
Yeah, that's
Number 6 is a personal favorite of mine, because every time I hear it, I holler. You must be out your damn mind.
Rabbit.
It's a personal favorite. And number 5, I was born in the night,
but not last night.
Number 4.
Wait, the twin to that. I was born in the morning. But not this morning. Oh, man. I throw that one around.
Number 4. Miss me with that.
Miss you with all that.
Now, Erica, you have 3 boys. What would you say is one that you use with them? Now, top 10 ways to disagree using black conversation.
With my boys?
Yeah, if you're talking to the kids.
I definitely say, does that feel right?
Does that feel right? But look at the facial expression.
I know, right?
The face and everything. It's a whole...
It did not feel right.
I felt like there were like 8 generations of mamas coming through her face right now.
Does that feel right? You know, and then that gives you a reflective self no. Yeah. Right? I don't have to deliver the no because I've given you a moment.
It didn't feel right,
to dig in and just see where you really stand.
They get there all by themselves.
And that right there is a life lesson.
I love it.
Number 3.
Very therapeutic.
Nah, son.
No.
Come on, son. Nah, fam.
No. That.
All of the above.
All of the all above. Of the above.
All of the above. Have you seen those, like, those Nah shirts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love those.
Yeah.
The Nah Rosa Parks.
The Nah Rosa Parks. Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah.
not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Number two.
And then you give a little over the glass and
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can use that.
Aura.
Oh, that's definitely
you have to
giving
do the
another
way
nice-y.
When you do the you go.
Right, add a little harum to it, like they do. But you got to have your Dr. King church family.
Yes.
Like when you do that,
definitely
like,
giving Southern grandma.
And there's a little dash of judgment on
there's
the side.
I would say there's a tinge of shame.
Yeah, for a tinge.
Oh,
a tinge.
There's a tinge of shame.
There's like, a big dose of judgment like, with that.
And the number one way to disagree using black conversation.
Uh-oh. Right there. Right
that.
I know. That's it. That's our top 10 ways.
That's a good.
The
list.
Last one without words. I love that.
Yeah, of course.
So shout out. I have to give homage because you know I'm a big believer in etymologies and sharing the origins of some of these cultural references that we do on the show. So I have to give a shout out to Yvette Brown. Is that her name?
The actress.
Yeah. Yvette Brown and Kiki Palmer
were
playing Password in a viral clip that's been going around. And Kiki Palmer was giving the password to Yvette Brown, and she goes, Rose. And so instantly we all knew what the password had to be, but Yvette was like, I don't know, like, she didn't want to guess wrong and everything, so she goes through this whole, and at some point, she was just like, I don't want to guess wrong, and Kiki's like, you can't, Rose, and, you know, and she's like, there's no way you could get it wrong, like, just
with
come
a one
on.
Word clue.
And then Yvette looks at the camera, she goes, it's a whole lot of black conversation going on right here, right now. And there so was. And
yes,
so that's a
absolutely.
Hat to the, and then she winds up guessing Titanic, and of course it's the right answer.
Yes.
So hats it to them.
But in a different way.
Within a different way.
Absolutely.
Because all she said was Rose.
Yeah.
Which could have taken you to Golden Girls, a flower. It could have taken you a whole bunch of places.
But gave her the...
But Rose, there's only one right answer.
Absolutely.
Because there's a whole lot of black conversation. So shout out to them. We use a whole lot of black conversation on this show.
Absolutely.
As well. So, you know, shout out to them for putting a name on it.
Yes. Thank you. And shout out to the both of you for participating in my shenanigans.
And
you.
Shout out to
I
you for an
it.
Outstanding list.
I enjoyed it. We're here for the shenanigans.
Here for it.
Well, that's all we got for... Even this episode.
Even Jamil was triggered a couple of times during
he was.
So, but anyway.
Definitely black conversation is triggering.
As always, thank you for listening. Hit that subscribe button. Follow us on all social platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, or LizThePurposeCoach.com/podcast. And Erica, why don't you lead us out by giving the people your socials and letting the people know how they can stay connected with you.
Absolutely. So again, I'm Erica Fulton, Master Esthetician, and you can find me at www.kenskinwellness.com and on all social media platforms at KenSkin. And we are looking forward to hearing from you all near and far.
Aw, thank you, Erica.
Thank you. I love it. This is amazing. Thank you for having me.
Thank
I
you
loved
for
it, loved
us.
It.
See you next time.